This is an original podcast from The Castery, the newest podcast people on the podcasting block. Please be entertained or educated or both. Hey, what's up? It's Denise Naidu and you are listening to Famous for Being Human on thecastery.fm. You're about to hear what it takes to keep a genderless label going. Robin Kayser joins us from the Art Club. Enjoy. Robin.
Hi.
You are famous for being human because you are an extraordinarily talented designer and founder and creative director of Art Club and Friends.
Yes. Thank you. Hi.
Welcome. It's so good to have you. And the main reason we have you is because the niche of your brand is that it's genderless.
Right.
Yeah?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a big part of what we do. It definitely wasn't something we like started with as like a pitch or a selling point. It's just how I've always dressed, and a lot of the people around me have never really shopped by gender. They've shopped by what they feel good in. And I think like to have excluded that from Art Club and Friends wouldn't have been true to who I am. So
right.
It was always going to be that way.
So you launched in November 2016.
Yes. Technically, yes.
Technically. Why do you say technically? I want to know, because when you said that, I was like, there's a story here, unpack it.
So I was super young when I launched. Thank goodness, actually, because you're so brave when you're young. You don't think about what can go wrong. You're like, I can do this, you know? So I launched in 2016 with, I think, like 3,000 rand that I'd like put into my brand, which at the time felt like everything I needed. And within like a month's time, I was like, okay, cool, I'm broke, you know? 1 month in, business savings gone. Shame. And then I had to keep working part-time for another at least 2 years. I would say from like mid-2018, I was able to kind of like focus on Art Club and kind of like just keep going off of just that. And the reason I always include that in the story is I think there are a lot of kids that follow Art Club not necessarily only because they want the clothing, but because they're so interested in the story, because it emulates something that they're potentially going to try. Whether it's in clothing or music or fashion or art, it's important to tell the real story behind what the journey looked like. It wasn't this overnight success. We started with a bang and it stayed that way. The first 2 years were impossible. And I used to be quite like ashamed of that and quiet about that. But the older I get, I realize how important those years were.
Yes.
And to just tell people, like, it wasn't an overnight success. The like, there were a lot of things telling me I should stop for many years, even still now. And I think people don't like to share that part of their journey because they just want to, like, tell you about all the things that went right. And actually, like, you learn more from the things that went wrong and how you got through them. So I actually speak about those more than the things that go right in our business.
We are a few minutes in and already I'm like, hello to everything you just said. I can identify with so many things.
Yes.
And yes to the process, yes to sharing all the gory bits, because that is where the goo of the business sits, and the grit is what people need to know.
Yeah.
I think if we only show people all the finished shiny products of anything, man, where's the fun in that? Where's the learning?
Totally.
Where's the wisdom? Where is the resilience teachings, you know? So a few things I want to just quickly query, you know. I love that you're spilling over and you're telling us so many things without us even having to poke at you. But firstly, you said you were really, really young when you launched Art Club. If I may ask, how young is really young? Because I think that's pretty significant.
I'm like notoriously bad at knowing what age I am. So I can just quickly work it out for you. I think I was, so it was 2016. So I think I was 20, I was 22 turning 23. So I was like,
right.
I was 22, turned 23 just after I launched. And I finished varsity at 21. I worked in the film industry for that short while and saved.
So that was the part-time hustle you mentioned.
Part-time hustle.
Because that was
going to
be my second
full-time
query.
Hustle, part-time pay, I would say.
been there too.
No, but
know
I,
what you mean.
But I loved it. And actually, in hindsight, I met some incredible mentors working in the film industry as like an assistant stylist and kind of a stylist every now and then. Had the most incredible mentorship, predominantly from women, just like really powerful, awesome, amazing women that just kind of, most importantly, kind of taught me how to just know my worth in like working capacity and how to say yes and no when it works for me. That's something I'm still learning, but I'm glad I got to see other people doing it. I was like, okay, cool. I can also say no or yes, you know, to the right things. So yeah, that's how I started out. And I missed that part of the industry. It's amazing. But I met so many people I still work with today through as an assistant. So yeah, it wasn't for nothing. It was awesome.
Absolutely. Every little thing, it's amazing in hindsight.
Yes.
How it contributes to, you know, your destiny. And if you really do acknowledge it, though, it's a choice to acknowledge it and to count, you know, each person that you meet as teaching you something. Totally, you know, we're always richer for meeting somebody, no matter who it is, no matter how brief, no matter how long we're in their presence. I stumbled across you for the very first time, or your brand as such, popping in at the waterfront and seeing your store, and just loving the fact that it was so distinct. The color palette was so distinct.
Right.
It was simple, crisp, clean.
Thank you.
Tell us about that, because it's white, blue, black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With a little bit of print here and there.
At the moment, it's very distinct. It does change. And specifically when we do projects, we bring in specific colors or prints or patterns. Something that I think has always guided me is I don't turn over clothing fast. So I usually have items in my wardrobe from like, I still got a pair of sneakers that I bought when I was 16, and they're like a big part of my wardrobe. I've got pieces that I fall in love with, and they stay with me forever. And the main thing is quality, obviously cut and shape, and then color. So if it's something that I can wear with many pieces, it's funny because people think we're like a minimal brand because we don't use a lot of color. I actually wear quite a bit of color. I just like creating pieces that I know our customer is going to get a lot of wear out of. So if it's like too niche or too specific, they'll love it, but they'll wear it maybe 2 times a year. And that's like actually something to do with sustainability for me that's important. Like, is it something that takes up space in your wardrobe, or does it like also have a life and get out there and be seen and worn a lot? So I try and create pieces that I know people are going to wear a lot and that are going to last long, if that makes sense. That combo for me is like the ultimate piece.
I love that psychology in the style manufacturing, you know, thought process. And you also make a killer shirt. I love your crisp white shirt.
So that's very new for us. Thank you. It was a challenge. I love a white shirt. And obviously because we try and make sure that the pieces we wear can be worn by different genders, ages, like occupations. It's often quite a challenge to find a piece that, look, nothing everyone can wear because people have different styles, but something that most people can wear is a challenge. And a white shirt is like, I thought, an important part of my wardrobe. So I wanted to try and find like, what is the perfect shirt? So that was this last year we've been focusing on projects, like coming up with a problem that we feel our customer has and how do we solve it through a product.
Adore.
So I'm glad you like them.
No, it's gorgeous. I mean, it can also be worn so many ways, you know, with pants, with shorts, with the skirt, just as is with heels.
Yes.
That one item for me just really, really stands out as something so magnificent.
Thank you.
Who are some of your personal style icons, inspirations? I mean, for me, I know something even as simple as walking down the road, you know, taking a walk and not getting in a car can inspire the hell out of me. Right. Where do you draw from and who?
It's funny, I don't think I've ever drawn inspiration from other designers per se. I love what they do, and I draw a lot more about like a lot more from them in terms of like their journey and their process as opposed to like their actual garments. I try not to mimic. Everyone does it, especially when they're younger, because you're so inspired, you can't differentiate what's, you know, my idea versus my mentor or my like hero's idea. So I try and not draw any inspiration from that. But in terms of like what we actually end up creating, it's got a lot to do with our customers, to be honest. We're so close with them. And because of Instagram, I see how they wear our pieces. And I also see what looks good, what doesn't look good. So I honestly think my biggest inspiration is my friends and our art club community. They are my friends too. Yeah. A lot of them have become friends through meeting them in store, like chatting to them on Instagram. That's definitely where our inspiration comes from, always.
I think this is probably also one of the best times to actually read the snippet that's off your site, in terms of inspiration and dreaming. Yes. You know, you have this sort of power statement that's on your site that goes a little something like this. I'm going to quickly read it. We are artists who work with artists to make clothes for artists. We're here for the dreamers, the creators, and the innovators. But beyond making beautiful clothes to inspire you to get up and chase your dreams, we exist to reconnect you to the profound process of making clothes, the stories of the people and their hands that make it all possible. We can't wait to help you build the wardrobe of your dreams. With love, Robin and the Art Club team. I just think that has so much heart. I think it's the most earthy, down-to-earth vision, mission statement. You know, we kind of grew up with these proposals where it's vision, mission, yes, objectives. Yes. So this just sums it up beautifully for me. Also, you describe Art Club as an independent brand by artists for artists. Yes. So I want to get into also but what more of the art. Yeah, what does it mean for the artists outside of the Art Club? How do they get in? Do they get in?
It's funny. We get a lot of people who message us and they're like, how do I join the club? Okay, so I'll try and unpack it for you. So I think the concept for me is, the creative industry can be really hard to access and it can be quite clicky and there's a lot of barriers to entry. As an independent brand, the word independent for me means that we're self-funded. We've always grown from what we have. I think that's quite important because I think for me, I've really tried to figure out part of what is important for me about Art Club is figuring it out so that when I know how to do the thing, I can teach other people how to do it. So, you know, for me, if I can genuinely say, like, it's self-funded, I didn't have huge business experience. I got a lot of it from finding mentors and asking our customers. You know, that independence is important for me because it means that we always make decisions that are best for ourselves as a team, as well as our customers. It's not based off of an external financer or team who's telling us what we need to care about. We get to decide that. So that's the importance of being independent for me. And then in terms of artists, I think for me, I've always felt and found that artists steer where the world is going to go. They may not have all the control or like the power to make decisions, but if we can guide our business more the way that artists think than, say, corporates think, I think we'll make better decisions and more meaningful decisions and more meaningful work. So I see pretty much everyone in our team as an artist. A garment technologist who is normally called a pattern maker, for me, she is an artist. Everything and every decision she makes, she's using maths to determine what your garment's going to look like. That's art. That's incredible. And I think when you value people as an artist and what they do, they don't feel like a cog in the machine. They're like, you know, they're a big part of the final outcome. So for me, it's not just specifically about working with fine artists who can draw and photograph and paint. It's everyone approaches it from that perspective. And that's, I think, why we all care so much about what we do. Yeah.
Human to the bone. Yeah. I just think that, you know, the fact that we have the privilege to tell this story and to get to know you and to hear how your mind works and how you really value the humans that contribute to making your dream possible is so amazing. And the word independent just sort of steered me to two pages in the book, Famous for Being Human. And I'm going to do like a little bit of a blitz question round with you. Okay. So, you know, because we're talking indie, so if you had to create your own indie movie about your life, okay, without thinking too much about this, I'm going to say in 3, 2, 1, action. Who would play you in your indie movie?
Oh my gosh. Zoe Kravitz.
Who would be your love interest?
Probably my current lover.
Love it.
Love him.
Who would direct your movie?
This is a tricky one. My friend G.
What would the title be?
Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will.
What would the plot be?
The plot would be probably just an underdog story. Someone who just like wasn't, no one really picked them to get there and they get there. We love an underdog story.
We do love an underdog story. And lastly, what would the genre be?
Oh, you know, I've got to be honest, I love a thriller. So it'd be really fun to just weave that in. Lately, that's what I've been watching.
and cut. Exit stage left. Love it, love yeah. it. I would buy all the tickets to see your movie. It sounds like it would be hella fun. And just on the opposite page, there is a quote I want to share with you. If at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and fly again. How do you, as such a young, dynamic businesswoman, business Thank human, find your peace? Because, you know, this is a Sunday show and, you know, white is such a dominant color in your range.
Right.
And it also translates into peace. How mm-hmm. are you prioritizing your peace?
That is a big question at the moment. I definitely haven't up until probably last year where I was like forced to stop. We were all forced to stop. It was the first time I think I was listening to a podcast, funny enough, a few weeks ago, and the owner of a business described her relationship with her business as codependent. Mm. I was like, wow, I felt really seen and called out there. I was like, I definitely, up until now, I think I've had that kind of relationship with everything I am is Art Club. There has never been a separation. So when Art Club does well, I feel good. When Art Club does badly, I feel terrible. And that's not healthy because businesses will have highs and lows outside of you and you have to learn to separate at least to a certain extent that you can feel good even if things aren't going great at work. So in terms of peace, I think I've been really trying to focus on all the things that are going well. It's not always everything, but at any given point, there's something that we can celebrate at work. And throughout our team, we're trying to focus a little bit more on that, like talking about, especially looking back and going a year ago, we almost closed. Now we're alive and kicking and we've got a few team members and we have a store. And like, yes, there's so many things we weren't able to do that we wanted to, but we're still like, our doors are open and we exist, you know? Mm. And that wasn't a given a year ago. In fact, we didn't think we would be here a year later. So I think for me, peace is very much like accepting that not everything can always go according to plan.
Yeah.
Being accepting when things are slower than you thought. And peace is, I'm also finding a lot of peace in celebrating other people's successes. Like that's something when I was younger that I used to compare myself a lot to like how other people were doing and what their journey looked like and why wasn't mine as fast or as big or as successful or, you know, as celebrated. But I think because I really care about the industry and what it's looking like and how it's changing and growing, I really feel other people's successes more than I used to as a younger person. I see other brands succeeding. I'm like, yes, that's a win for all of us.
Mm.
And that's actually giving me a lot more peace than it used to. It used to unnerve me, you know? And I think other than that, just like trying to carve out more time for things outside of my like work capacity. So I've started singing lessons lately.
What?
Yes.
Wow. I'm so tempted to say, give us a note. But then I also don't want to be that person that, you know, puts you on the spot.
Maybe on the next one.
Yeah, 2.0. Fantastic.
But that honestly, I'm not trying to be a singer or want to be a singer. I just realized the importance of like creativity outside of income. Because at the moment, my passion and soul is very much driven by finances because that's what allows me to keep doing it, right? And that can be a romance killer when you're trying to stay in love with what you do, but like there's numbers attached to it. Not to say I don't still love it, I love it, but there's stress that comes with it. It's not as freeing as, you know, you'd think. So yeah, creating space to just create that's not based on like a number or an outcome. It's just a safe space for you to like try and fail and like the world keeps turning. Mm. So yeah, I'm loving that.
I love that you are also prioritizing balance and that
it's hard.
It is hard, but that you are just making that start at saying, hey man, you know what? The world can wait sometimes.
Yes.
This is me. This is what I have to do for my sanity and myself.
Mm.
So with all the singing talk, you must love yourself a good musical.
Yes.
Not so?
I mean, I really love all the arts. I must be honest. There's not a specific genre I'm like obsessed with or aligned with. I love it all. I obviously listen to more kind of like some genres more than others, but I also just really love like the whole process of like, I was talking to a musician the other day about how much fun it is to dress musicians for stage because you get to see garments like on stage with an audience, like people reacting to them, them moving in it, the lights, like the whole thing. That if I could do that all the time, that's what I would do. Just dress people for stage. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
But obviously it's a pretty small industry in South Africa. So
cool. Take that and so run with fun. It. I think that if there's anybody in this world that can do it, it's you and the art club.
Thanks.
It just everything is aligned.
Yeah.
The art club, I mean, it's just I feel that the name alone is open-ended. It's limitless.
Yes.
You know, the possibilities are endless for you. So I feel such a good, I get such a inspiring good vibe from you because you are so open thinking and embracing of what this industry can throw at you.
Right. Yeah, it's not always good.
Yeah.
I think I hear you on the limitlessness. I think the name is so interesting because it's like the first thing I decided on without, if I'm being honest, I didn't think about it forever. It just came into my head one day and I was like, well, I wanted to create a space where I could be everything I wanted to be, right? I could do a little bit of photography and I could do a little bit of, I don't know, like I love stats and math. So I get to do that in now like finances. You know, I think the idea behind Art Club and Friends is to try and like remove those bounds and just like create a world and a business that works for all the people inside it as opposed to the other way around. So yeah, we've got lots of ideas. We just need funding. So if you know anyone who's like super wealthy and wants to give us money, give them my number.
Listen, you've just started the sales pitch. So go pitch ahead, go for it. As long as you are family or famous for being human, we will have your back. And I think this is, you know, when we initially touched base, and I think this is actually a very cute story to share.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a human story.
I love it.
This is our Kumbaya moment, right? So there I am, you know, I'm in my business mode and I'm pitching and everything.
I loved
and
it. I respected it.
And I'm like, hey, Robin, you know, here's the rate card and here's the press release and whatever. And I just appreciated the fact that you had the courage to be honest and say, look, by perception, Art Club might seem like this
massive,
really well-to-do, gotta go and on brand with disposable income.
Yes.
But actually, right now,
we're hustling. Yeah, we're hustling. I think, you know, it's two things. From the outside, and this is why I think it's so important to talk about stuff that went wrong.
Yes.
And like what's still going wrong. Because I do think from the outside, people think that if you've got a certain amount of following, or you've have a certain amount of accolades, you've dressed a certain amount of people, you're sorted. I think in South Africa, that is really hard to achieve. You know, we've got a pandemic that's happening. You know, we've got unemployment rates for like youth that are just like unbearable to even face and think about. And at the end of the day, those all have knock-on effects on business and customers and the ability to support local businesses. So we have limitless support. I can never express how much that matters, even if it's not financial. We have we have fans and we have people who will have our back no matter what, right? But in terms of like spending and people's ability to like contribute to local brands at the moment, what they're doing is more than I could have ever imagined. But it's different, you know, if you're in America or you're in China or in Europe, like your customer base has money, right? So it's a little easier to grow. But that's not to say I couldn't imagine doing it in any other country. I love being here. It's just a little bit harder, but that's part of why the local brands that you're seeing pop up are so amazing. Cause we have such an interest. Everyone has such interesting stories.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Tell me to be situated in Waterfront.
Yes.
And I think it also probably plays a lot into the perception of
that. We're like, we've made it.
Yeah. You know? How does it help challenge the art club? Because running a store, having to have staff, they're full time, manning it for you, managing that,
it's hard.
It's a lot.
So last year, like I'll sum it up super fast. Last year, June, July, we had our worst month ever and we got served with a pretty big bill from landlords. I won't mention their name. And we almost had to close. And at the same time, we were being given this opportunity to open up the Watershed. We'd been trying to get in there for about 4 years. But obviously, because of COVID, a lot of those businesses like closed or moved on to different places. So it was strange that in the same month that we had our worst month, we were given a really awesome opportunity. I guess like the way the universe works is they'll obviously, in your hardest month, they'll be like, hey, here's a leg up, you know? So yeah, it was a huge stretch. We went from being two people to, I think there's six of us plus two or three part-time now. And just that has been a huge learning curve. Like, it's one thing managing yourself, but like, as a, I'm 27 now, managing other people and inspiring other people and keeping them going and motivated and paid is a whole new skill set for me. You know, I'm not a parent, but I'm learning like how to help other people and manage other people and inspire other people. It takes up a lot of energy and thought process and that whole thing. But I'm loving it. It's just like, I'm not now just designing and putting it on Instagram. There's like a whole world behind that has to keep coexisting in order for our doors to stay open. And yeah, I try and share as much as I can about that experience with other people because I have no training. I'm learning as I go. And my team's all super like enthusiastic, hardworking, smart, pretty much all women, super smart, luckily. Yeah, and I think like this bumpy road that we're all on learning as we go is like, it's not the prettiest thing from the outside, you know, but it's real. And that's, I think, how most small businesses in South Africa start. No funding, learning as you go, trying your best. And the more we share about that journey, I would love to help other people not make the mistakes I made. Mm. And the only way that'll happen is if I own up to them and I'm like, this one time we almost closed because of this. You know, let me tell you how to avoid it. And I'm trying to do more and more of that because you can't put a number to that kind of learning where someone's like, I learned this invaluable skill. Here it is for free.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think it's so beautiful that you seem like a person that really gives credit where credit is due. And you also highlighted the fact that in your team, mostly women, you know, your age right now, 27, and you're having to manage this business. What is the other age dynamics
within our team
going on within your team?
Okay.
A lot older than you.
Both.
Younger.
And both have pros and challenges, you know. Managing people that are older than you when you're 27, there's like the professional and work dynamic. But then there's also a respect, you know, I was raised to respect my elders and I do. So that's interesting. And then also managing people younger than you, you can see yourself in them and you're like, some of them are way like more impressive than I was when I was that age, super responsible, but they're also going through a pandemic in their early 20s. And it's hard. They don't see their friends. They don't get to socialize. Like, that's something we have to like think about. And how is that impacting their mental health for an early 20-year-old right now, for anyone, is hardcore. So that's something we're trying to be compassionate about and supportive about. But yeah, it's interesting having a team. It's a wild journey, but I love them. They all feel like family. And they all dream with me, which is very hard to find. You know, people that believe in, like, your wild, crazy, just absurd dreams. And they're like, yeah, we can do that. It sounds ridiculous, but I think we could do it. And, you know, to have people like that are just, like, amping you up every day. I love it. They're the best.
You mentioned, you know, everybody loves a good underdog story. And I've also caught wind of one of our prominent payment systems in the country.
Yes.
Also focusing a lot on the underdog story and taking that narrative. And seeing all the different interpretations of what it really takes and hearing those stories. Tell me about some of the craziest lows that you've experienced. Like, you know, like, you've already told us so much, but I mean, do you cry? How do you when you're really, really stressed, like, what have some of the craziest moments been? Or have you done anything really extreme where you've looked back and you've been like, dude, whoa, that was just crossing the line even for me.
I mean, I'm quite an externally calm person, which is definitely like, I think, one of my superpowers. Like, even when I'm boiling inside, I'm able to just like externally keep it together. But I will say that last year, when we went into lockdown, so the sequence of events was we had saved up money. It was just myself and Tanya, who's my best friend, who wildly joined my team in 2018. I'm really bad at dates.
I think dates and ages.
Yeah,
don't worry, we forgive
terrible.
You.
Yeah. I'm terrible. But anyways, it was just the two of us, and we were like, we're going to open up a store in Joburg because we have a huge customer base in Joburg, and we've never really opened up a space there that's just been art club. So our first store was going to be in Joburg. obviously the way the world works, we had spent all of our money on our deposits, our shop fittings, our stock. And the week that we were supposed to open that store in Joburg was the week after we went into lockdown. So like pretty much all of our business savings were like put into that. And I know it sounds like it's not actually that expensive to set up the size of a, like the size of a store that we were going to open, but because we're a tiny business, it's a lot, you know, it was a big risk, but it was going to be fine. But then obviously no one had ever thought about what happened last year, and it happened. And then we kind of like went into the space where all of our expenses kept going, you know, rent, salaries, whatever. Luckily there were just two of us, but everything shut down. And I didn't have any experience in like business problems or things going wrong yet. No one could really advise me on what was the best thing to do because this had never happened before. So I couldn't really call someone and say, hey, how did you get through your last pandemic? You know, there was no one.
This was happening for the first time all of us.
No one knew how long it was going to take. If it was going to be 5 years, it was going to be 2 weeks. We didn't know. So that was really intense. And then, yeah, we had a bit of a tough period with our landlords that almost landed us insolvent. And we reached out, which is something I think as a business, if you really are invested and close to your customers, they will have your back in tough times. And I literally put up a post that had a series of photographs of our like our empty studio, our boxes in our garage. We called ourselves Art Club in Garages for a month because Tanya and I literally ran our business from the garage in boxes for months during the pandemic last year. And we had our best month sales-wise in the same month that we got that massive bill. So all that money went straight from our bank account to pay that bill, but at least we kept our doors open. So it was such a intense, bittersweet survival, but also like frustrated experience where we're like, yo, it would have been so nice to actually just have that cash. But we were able to like settle that debt and get through it and start again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just wow.
Yeah. It was horrible. I wouldn't wish it on anyone because obviously like I can say it now and look back on it and be like, oh, well, like that doesn't seem that bad. But when you're in it and there's also like you're worried about your family's safety and your friends and the world's shutting down and you've now also got to keep a business running. Like I wasn't ready for that. I feel like I've aged in the last year because I had to get through that. But I'm also proud that we did. But yeah, I think like running a business isn't for everyone because you do have to have. It's not, you don't even have to be the smartest or the best at what you do, but you have to have such crazy resilience because like tough times are guaranteed. Success is not. So if you start a business, know that it's going to be hard. You may succeed. That's
love
the honest,
it.
That's
tough
the honest
times
truth.
Are guaranteed. Yeah. But success is not.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate that that's how it is, but it's the truth, you know?
Yeah.
People need to know that when they invest money into their businesses, you're not guaranteed of success. Like, I hope you get it. I really do. Everyone deserves that feeling of just like putting time and energy into something and it works. But realistically, that's not always the case. And I didn't know that when I started a business. I was like, I'm going to start a business and it's going to be great. That's what I really thought. And it is great, but there was a lot of moments where maybe it wasn't going to make it through, you know?
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about family.
Yes.
Are you an only child, siblings? Because, you know, I'm an only child and so much of the business side of what you're talking about, I'm resonating with. Because I'm also the kind of person like, positive, let's do it. You know, if we don't do it, we'll never know. Bump your head while you're there. Not many mentors to really call on. Because you're the only person in your family that's like taking on all of this stuff. So how are you drawing strength sometimes and support from your family?
So I'm incredibly lucky. I have my family and I are super close. I'm the only one in my immediate family that's like started a business. But that doesn't mean they haven't been incredibly supportive. If I think about if my child had come to me at like 21, was like, I'm starting a clothing business, I would have said, you are nuts. Like with what money, with what experience? But I guess part of that, the beauty of that is you're so naive that you're like, you really believe you can do it. And that's important. Like, you know, the older you get, yes, you have more experience, but you've experienced tough times and you know, you're not as brave when you're that age. So part of that, like naivety was really important. I think that's what for a long time I was like, oh, it's fine. Like, yes, I know that my finances are terrible, but like they will come right. You know, had I been older, I would have been like, nah, I'm done. This is not happening fast enough. And luckily, like I did start when I was so young. I've had more time to get it right. That's the other thing. But yeah, my family are my biggest fans. Like, my brother owns every single pair of dungarees we've ever released. Aww. And he refuses to buy them on discount. I've given him a discount. And he's like, no, I want them full price just in case they're worth something someday. And I'm going to sell them on eBay.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yeah, so my family is incredible. They really support me and all of our, like, in any way they can help, they're always there. They're like, come to our like launches. My parents flew to Joburg for my first fashion week. Yeah, I don't think I could do it without them. They're really the best.
I have such a good feeling in my gut about where Art Club is gonna go.
Thank you.
And I think it's largely based first and foremost on the fact that you are such a transparent businesswoman, that you are young and embracing all the challenges. And I think we both feel like we just need to exhale because I honestly, as you're talking, I'm almost reliving a lot of my own mistakes, the way in which I've bumped my head. And I think that this is why this meeting and the synchronicity and you know, I fell in love with your honesty and your humanness through an email. And I love that about you. And, you know, in terms of all these labels that are being, you know, challenged right now, is the clothing, you know, vegan? Is it sustainable enough? Is it upcycled? How are you staying true and almost sometimes having to remain unfazed?
So I think this is another thing, is like in the beginning of Art Club's journey, and it's funny, the bigger you grow, the more people challenge you. And it's very hard to see that as a positive thing. It sometimes will feel like a bit of an attack. But I mean, last year I had an incident where, and again, like I'll speak openly about this because these are things that you don't realize you're going to face as a business, right? So during the Black Lives Matter kind of like, you know, when the people were posting black squares and that, like that whole thing, I felt strange about that because I wasn't really sure, like, what does it actually do? And at the same time that all of that was going on, I was facing legal issues with my landlord, and my business was technically closed. So my landlord had said, you may not be on social media because that shows that your business is open and you can't have a case to say you can't pay bills if that's what's happening. So I was taking legal advice on that. And I got a message from someone, and like, this is really important to talk about because I really care about these things. And you know, from the outside, you don't hear about what happens behind the scenes in businesses. And someone was like, why aren't you guys posting about this? You know, you're always so vocal about caring about everyone. And like, you know, fashion has always been political. And why are you quiet now? And obviously, like, I felt super defensive about that. I was like, oh, well, you guys don't know what I'm going through. And I'm trying to keep salaries paid and whatever. But from the outside, it just seemed like we were being apathetic, like we didn't care. And I think, like, as you grow and the more people love you, the more they expect from you. So they'll be disappointed if you don't show up. And, you know, that was a huge learning for me to get through that and go, like, wow, like, we actually do mean something in this industry. And our lack of a voice or showing up in this time had a negative impact on a customer or just, like, a fan or a follower. And that responsibility I don't take lightly. Our team takes it very seriously. So, yeah, I think... And again, around sustainability, oh, there's so much you can do and like think about and that you have to take into accountability. And I think the advice I would give is to just pick what you care about most. For me, that's people, our team, the people that make it, and just like the transparency. So if maybe we're not using organic cotton and that's something you care about, we're vocal about that. Like, here are other brands that you can find that do the thing that you love. This is what we do.
Sorry, can you just quickly cut the...
No worries.
Oh. Did we lose anything there? No, we didn't. Okay, fab. So we're just going to pick it up. Okay, perfect timing because then I can go into this next. Okay. Oh, this has been so amazing.
Yeah. I hope
you're having fun.
Yes. I love talking. It's the one.
I love that.
The one thing I'm like very comfortable doing. I love it. We don't get a lot of opportunities to talk.
Yes. So, you know, you're always going to be family now of Fame Sipping Human. And, you know, this for me as well, it's about growing this brand into something that is a educational space on almost every kind of industry.
I love it.
Level. You
That's
know,
really
so
cool.
From fashion to the arts to freaking, I don't know, tech and innovation. Yeah. And being a hub where, you know, you and also just multidimensional in what we create. So, for example, my mind's already going wild. I'm like, okay, when we launch, I want to bring in, you know, so we our first interview actually we did last week was with Jimmy Nevis. So,
oh, like, cool.
For example, you know, bring him in, bring you in, have a show where, you know, he's singing.
He's a customer of ours. He's messaged us a few times.
Yeah. Have you met him ever?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you have to meet each other.
Yeah, we've never met. Yeah, everything since COVID has been through a phone. So there's so many people I've chatted to and interacted with that I've just never actually met
in
real life.
So we need to have a dinner. I'm gonna do a Famous for Being Human dinner for the team and the guests.
I love that.
I've been envisioning that already.
Cool.
So we need to do
Sounds
that.
Great.
We need to hook you guys up so you can meet.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just gonna clap again. Sorry.
Okay.
Cool.
Cool. Famous for Being Human. Continued.
Yes. The fact that you just spoke about, you know, what Black Lives Matters.
Yes.
Raised towards your brand, and someone seeing you from the outside in,
yes,
wondering where your voice was in that moment, leads me to a part in the book where I speak about, you know, sort of individuality over herd mentality,
right?
Because I also think that that becomes quite a thing with social media, where everyone's got their eyes on, like, you know, there's this time and there's hopping on a hashtag, and then there's expectations that it's just. So it's hard. I believe you when you felt that, because in a short space of time now, I'd like to believe I feel your heart.
Right. But I think both matter, right? What are you doing in real life? But also, like, how are you using your voice? Like, you have to be saying and, like, doing the learnings. Like, that's so important. But it also has to be followed up in real life. Like, I don't think, especially as a brand, one can exist without the other anymore, you know? Just because I'm not vocal on social media doesn't mean Art Club is excused from that, you know? So I think, yeah, the bigger we grow, the more we're challenged. And sometimes that's really stressful, but it's important. And I'm so grateful that people take the time to even challenge us on that, so we can know how we can better speak and, like, represent the people we're creating for, you know? It's a lot, but it's so worth it, right? Whilst we do this.
Absolutely. The quote in the book goes on to say, don't be afraid to unclip from a click. And the activity page opposite is, how healthy are your clicks? Do they build you or do they break you? So I want to know this in sort of, like, twofold from you, because there's a personal side to this, and then there's the business side to this. Because I can well imagine that in your friendship circle, you have the real, real, real ones.
Yes.
And then you've also had to unclip and see who is really for you, who is not for you, and exactly the same in business.
Yes. Look, I mean, there's so many layers to what I do, right? Part of what I do is being a woman in business, and that's different to other people's experiences. You know, I've had moments where I've had to try and, like, get into the boys' club, because people think that fashion is run by women. It's not. It's run by men. And I've constantly had to, like, prove my worth, fight for my worth, fight for spaces, right? But in the same light, I'm a white person, right? So there are elements to that of privilege that I've received that other people haven't received, right? So on a personal level, I think my learnings are really helpful, because I understand what other people are going through, and the more I share them and how I got through them and try and open those doors or, like, break down those barriers, hopefully the next kid who comes in after me doesn't have to deal with that guy. Do you know what I mean? So that's part of it, is, like, accepting that, like, part of your responsibility, I think, as a creative, is to open doors for people coming through them next.
Right. And I feel you on the color thing. And I mean, I had a conversation with someone the other day saying, my son produces trap music, but he's white. I mean, you know, he's always challenged about, what does he know about trap music? And my heart just automatically goes, like, because I was born and raised in the northern suburbs, went to a Catholic school where color just wasn't a thing. When I think back on it, I was so oblivious to color because in my home, I was never raised to, you know, see color and be bothered about race. And then I went to an Afrikaans high school.
Right.
Where I broke a good few barriers. And, you know, that then translated into me going on to TV presenting and then someone looking at me and feeling, oh, I'm represented in her.
So important.
You know, and then just having a human heart and thinking like, oh, you know, to me, in my world, color doesn't matter.
Right.
But I have to be cognizant of the fact that it does matter.
Yes.
And that even if I want to be sort of free spirit about it and welcome all, there are times we've got to segment and we've got to look at the voices of each race.
Yes.
And it's a big responsibility to take on, especially when you are, you know, Robin Keyser from Art Club, and art is supposed to be fully representative of it's a big responsibility.
Totally. And I think the thing that I'm really excited about is I want to get to a point where I can use all my learning to grow Art Club as a separate entity from me. Art Club started as an extension of me, and it's become so much more than that. Like, there's so many people that are part of it now that it's not only my voice. It hasn't been for a long time. And I think that's why I've actually tried to remove my face a little bit from Art Club, because it's not like Art Club is not Robin Keyser. I'm a big part of it, but there are so many voices that are impacting its decisions now and where it's going and where it's growing. And I actually want to try and remove my voice from it a little bit to create more space for all the other people that are involved. I just want to use my brain and my heart to like try and steer it and keep it going and growing strongly. Obviously, my voice will always be a part of it, but I'm not passionate about it being what people are hearing. Like, I don't need to be the forefront of what I do. Like, I like being in the back and like steering it and pushing it along and giving other people space to, you know, put their ideas out there. And obviously it takes a little time because that also costs money, you know, bringing in, being able to pay people to be a part of what you do. And we're getting there. So I'm excited. I want it to be a platform where I can just like almost just be there as its mom, you know? Just like growing it, guiding it, but like allowing it to unfold into new spaces that I maybe could never have taken it or wanted to take it. And using it more as a platform for other people's ideas. That's my dream, to get there.
I kind of like that anti. I want to say it's like an anti-attitude, you know, where you want to be a little bit more anti certain things for the benefit of your business, right?
Yes, and also the people that support it. Like, I really don't need to be... I would have called it Robin Keyser Designs or something if I wanted it to be about me. And it was never the... There's a very specific reason why my name was never part of the business. For a while, there needed to be a face for people to get to know and trust. Like, it, you know, faceless brands are strange for me. Like, who's behind this thing? Especially as a small local brand. But now, I feel like people know enough about me. And also, you asked about peace earlier. Part of that is separating from Art Club, you know. There was a point where I was very in the forefront and I just get a lot of people messaging me or staring at me when I was walking around in Cape Town. And I was like, I don't want to be recognizable or accessible or known on a personal level. Like, that's for me and my family and my real friends, you know. Not to say I won't always be transparent on Art Club, but I don't need it to be like the Robin Show. I don't want it to ever be the Robin Show.
Right.
Yeah, for me.
I relate so much to that because, you know, a few weeks ago I did an interview on influencer stuff, right? And I mean, for lack of another word right now and job title to it all, you know, my response to one of the questions was I actually just wish that Fame for Being Human will become even more important than the work that Deneen Naidoo will ever do. So I relate when you say, you know, you want Art Club to be a movement.
Yes.
You want to push that more than you want to push your name.
Yes.
Because I think we live in...
There's a limit to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that, you know, who the fuck cares what Deneen Naidoo does? Like, you know, even, I mean, when you get to a point where you're comfortable enough to say that about yourself, that is a position
freeing.
Of power.
It's freeing.
Yeah.
Because you can focus on, like, the work and what matters.
Yeah.
It's not about your ego or your name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So here's to our movement.
Miss me with that.
Catch me outside. Yes. Catch me outside.
And I do think, like, the pressure as like a creative, if your whole worth is around your name and your identity, like there's this question of relevance the whole time. And as especially like as a brand that represents young people, I'm not going to be young forever. And I'm very comfortable with that, right? I'm still young. I still got a few more years of me. But there will come a time where my value won't be in my youth or my what I have to say about youth culture or how I feel about it. There'll come a point where there'll be other people that can talk about that better than I can. And I need to have set up a business that understands that. Like our club's relevance can't be based on me. Right? What if I get sick? What if I get tired? Like, it needs to exist outside of me. And I'm so glad it's always kind of been that way. That's always been the plan. Mm. I feel for people who have to show up personally every day for work. Like, it's a lot. It's a huge, like, people have a lot to say about influencers, but it's a really tough job.
It is.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
Because it's you. You are the business, right?
Absolutely. You've got to get up, dress up, show up, pose in a certain way a lot of the time, behave to a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where's the human?
Yeah.
Where is the human? Where does the human start and end? And I think it's a balance and a conversation that we need to continue having because there's still such an imbalance, you know, in the industry. And everyone's still trying to find the correct worth, I think.
Yes.
Like how much weight do we continue to place on this? And how much, you know, the health, it's like how healthy is it? How sustainable is it? Because it's not sustainable.
Yes. No, I don't think it is. And I think like I love brands who are investing in artists and work and ideas and spaces as opposed to like followings and clout and engagement, because it's just it you get that like weird feeling when you feel like a brand's working with this person because they know that they'll sell a lot, right?
Yeah.
I don't trust brands who do that, so that's why we don't really work with influencers. Not because we don't respect them, I really respect them, but I just feel that if someone gets the feeling that we're working with you because of what we can gain from it versus what we believe or see in you, it's a totally different feeling. So a lot of the time when we're working with artists, we're making no money. In fact, it's usually at a loss because we just want to support them. Very few times have we ever actually made money off of working with a strategic artist or musician. It's honestly just about it feeling right to us as a brand versus like growing us as a brand. I don't know if that makes sense. We call them muses. We work with muses,
absolutely,
not influencers. Like people we're inspired by and we think our customers will connect with or inspired by what they do and giving them a little bit more access to them or like closeness to them. That's the kind of relationship we try.
Yeah. Alignment.
Yeah.
Alignment. Absolute
totally.
Pure alignment of art creation.
Yes.
Making sure that the hearts are all in the right place in every element of your team and your dynamic.
Yes.
Is there anything that we haven't spoken about that before I let you go, you just want to say, you know, for the sake of being human and the fact that you are human before you are Robin Kayser of the Art Club.
Yeah. I think honestly, like my story, which I've always tried to figure out how to place myself as a designer, right? Because I'm not super fashionable or like, I'm not really like this personality online. I'm quite like plain in my environments. I know in my like family, I'm the eccentric one, but like relative to what other designers are like and other creators were like, I'm not, stand out in any specific area, right? I'm not the best at anything. I just work really hard at the things I love. And I think there's like a lot of kids that I meet that feel like they can't find a place where they can do the thing they love because they're not the best at it.
Mm.
And for me, that's such a missed opportunity. Like you are, I feel like there's this huge thing about like, if you're not first, you're last, which is just really not true. There's so much to go around and there's enough for everybody to succeed at what they love. But the most important thing is that you actually stay true to what it is you're shining for and not trying to do the thing that the person next to you is great at. I've been coming across that so much lately with young people. And I just want to shout it. Like, I'm not the best at anything and I'm fine.
Come, I'm going to say it with you. Let's say it together.
Okay.
I'm not the best at anything. Yes. Listen, once more. Okay. I'm not the best at everything.
And that's okay. Yeah. That's it.
There you go. Boom. Drops mic. And cut.
Yeah.
beautiful.
Thank you for having me. It was so much
fun. We love you. I think that was such a moment. I felt it. I wanted to actually just bake it in that moment because I feel it was such a release, you know, as two people who have probably been through the most in their lives thus far. And there's so many like us. So to you, to the art club.
Thank you for having me.
Just for waking up every damn day to do what you do, to taking on what you do as a young person in this country, in this world. Hats off to you.
Thank you. And you. You got this.
You got this. Listen once more for luck. I'm not perfect at
Everything.
Remix. Sounds like we need it. What is the remix? I'll do anything.
Maybe the next time I'm back when I sing, I'll have this. I'm not perfect at everything.
There we go. Okay.
You.
There we go. We're going to work on this. We're going to work on this. This is the human element.
Your friend's son, who's the trap musician, I'll call him.
There we go. And then we'll get Jimmy in as well.
Amazing.
There we go.
It's going to be terrible. All three of us.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
And that was another podcast episode from the people at The Castery. Please tell your friends and give us a lacquer rating where you get your podcasts.